The photo on the front page of the New York Times was heart-wrenching. It featured a Zimbabwean child in tears, sitting on the floor, little legs encased in plaster casts. The picture was published in late June, at the height of pre-election violence in Zimbabwe. The child's mother, according to the caption, had said that ruling party thugs in Zimbabwe broke her child's legs. She said it happened during a politically motivated assault on the family. Other news organizations also reported the story. And then yesterday, the New York Times ran a correction. It stated that the child's legs were never broken. The mother still claims that her family was a victim of an assault by government supporters, but she says the child's legs were in a cast because of an earlier treatment for club feet, and she was desperate to get some help. Rod Norland covered the story for Newsweek, and he spoke to the mother himself in Zimbabwe. He says the woman's story sounded believable at first.
Well, the mother had said that ZANU-PF thugs came into her house looking for her husband, couldn't find him or her, and took her baby off the bed, a one-year-old baby, and flung it to the floor, breaking both of its ankles. And the child had these twisted ankles that she sort of showed as evidence of this attack. We believed the story at the time. She seemed very credible. I interviewed her myself with a translator. She didn't ask for money or anything else, so I had no reason to doubt her story. And there are plenty of horrific stories in Zimbabwe of attacks on civilians of all kinds, including attacks on children. We weren't able to go to the hospital where the baby was treated because that hospital, aside from the fact journalists are outlawed in Zimbabwe anyway, that specific hospital was throwing us out, you know, when we came there. I'd been thrown out of the hospital a few days previous, and they, you know, said, please don't come back. We don't want journalists around here. So it was kind of hard to check out, and the place where she lived was a little bit out of town, also hard to get to. Moving around was hard. So all that's kind of by way of excuse for the fact that we made a mistake, and in fact, it doesn't look like this baby was harmed by thugs, but rather had a congenital clubfoot condition.
Which is why the baby had a cast on her legs.
Apparently she had had, according to a doctor, and I haven't talked to that doctor in person, but somebody calling me claiming to be the doctor said that, yes, she had put casts on the baby to help correct the condition.
And has the mother apologized, or did she herself acknowledge that she had lied?
Well, you know, the mother was in hiding in the first place. It took us quite a while to find the mother. A lot of people refused to help us find the mother. So by the time we did find her, you know, some time had gone by, and then after that, the mother moved her hiding place and went back to her with these other questions. What we did instead was have a local reporter in Zimbabwe, go down to the mother's hometown and find her house. And the mother had said also that her house was destroyed, but apparently her house was not destroyed. And neighbors, you know, told us that indeed she had a baby with club feet.
Before we get to the reporting on this itself, why would the mother lie about something like this? And is there any evidence that the child itself had been thrown to the floor by government militias?
No, apparently not. According to this doctor and everybody else who's followed this case up, there was no physical evidence of injuries on the child other than his club feet. And, of course, that's a congenital condition.
Right. Okay. So,
But why would she lie about it exactly? I mean, I think that's why, you know, so many of us were taken in by this story, because she didn't have an apparent motive to lie about it. And, you know, there are a lot of people in situations like that that would, even when the story was true, who would ask for money or would ask for help getting out of the country, and she didn't ask for anything like that. You know, what her motive was, maybe it was purely political to make the regime look bad, but the fact is there are so many verifiable horror stories there that I don't know why you would feel a necessity to make up another one.
And the reason she might want to make the regime look bad is that her husband works for the opposition. He, in
well,
fact, was
if hiding. That's even true,
not
hopefully
sure that is
it
true.
Is, but I mean, she claims it is, and we haven't been able to verify that either.
Well, talk to us about that, Rod. I mean, you've been doing investigative reporting for decades, and I can't imagine this is the first time that you've been, as have all foreign journalists, been barred from a country, but tried to get information from people there anyway. What is the situation now in Zimbabwe that would make it so difficult to find out even basic facts about a story like this? I mean, we've heard from various reporters that this is a little boy. Your reporting is it was a little girl. We've had three different names for the child, a 1-year-old child. Tell us specifically about the situation of trying to get to the truth in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I mean, the child was a girl. That we are sure of. And I don't know why the New York Times and the Times of London seem to think she was a boy, except that, as I understand it, they relied on local stringers to do the reporting for them. I don't think they had one of their own correspondents actually, you know, interview the mother and the baby.
You should say for a time, some correspondents for the New York Times had been apprehended there for not having permission to be.
Well, that's right. Barry Burek was the last New York Times person to operate under his own name there, and he was picked up and held for 3 weeks and had quite a miserable experience. And, you know, there are a lot of other victims of violence that we were able to see in Zimbabwe in the hospitals. And in some of the hospitals we were able to either sneak into or get into through, I guess basically we snuck into all of them because none of the authorities at any of the hospitals would let a foreign journalist visit. But we were able to see people there and see their wounds. And, you know, when you see a guy with his entire buttocks flailed off, it's pretty clear what happened. I mean, I don't think there's a congenital disease that would account for that.
So, Rod, if there are so many other cases of people who are believed to have been victimized by the government of Zimbabwe, or at least have the sanctioning of the government for these militias that are carrying out some horrific attacks, why is this one particular story of this one little girl, this year-old girl? She was on the front page of the New York Times. We know that. She was on the Sunday Times of London. She got a lot of publicity, but why was this case and why is this case so important for more than journalistic reasons?
Well, I think because we live in a television age, an age of images, and everyone is looking for the image that tells this story, and that seemed to be, you know, one that told it particularly well. And one of the problems with Zimbabwe especially, I mean, it was fairly easy for me to work there as a writing journalist and to get around and all, but if I had taken out a camera, you know, any kind of professional camera especially, I wouldn't have lasted 30 seconds on the street there. And so the fact is we're not getting a lot of images out of the degree of the violence. I mean, some of the best pictures of the election campaign violence came from as a result of the U.S. ambassador, because he happened to have somebody with a video camera in his convoy when they saw a ZANU-PF mob chasing people down the street and beating them. And they got some video of that, and I think that video is played over and over again. But there haven't been many professional cameramen who have been able to work on the streets of Zimbabwe. Everyone kind of has been looking for that image that would tell the story, and I think that's why this one was just seemed perfect with a cute little kid with both his legs in a cast, and how can anybody do something so horrible?
Do you know what's happened to the girl since then?
I don't. I mean, I assume she's still with her mother, but the mother's not making herself available. It got a lot of attention, so that kind of attention, you know, could well bring the police to wherever she might be hiding.
Rod, thank you.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
That's Newsweek investigative reporter Rod Norland discussing the case of an erroneous reporting out of Zimbabwe. For photos of the Zimbabwean mother and the child that we've been talking about, go to theworld.org.